All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Stay the course! We are dead! We are all dead!
We were supposed to make the world a better place. What happened?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I know Kung Fu.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
This whole thing is insane! This whole thing is insane!
300 years ago, you'd have been burned at the stake.
What do all men of power want? More power.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
This whole thing is insane!
Man is evil, capable of nothing but destruction!
Everybody is stuck with the things that they're not proud of.
More power.
Welcome to the desert. Of the real.
More power.
There can be only one.
Are you a God-fearing man, Senator? It's such a strange phrase. I've always thought of God as a teacher, as a bringer of light, wisdom, and understanding. You see, I think what you really are afraid of is me.
Happy heresies and welcome to the desert of the real. Thought you might enjoy that little clip from The Prisoner because it sort of relates about our topic today. We will be going farther than the moon, but there's still patterns and movements and things we must overcome. From the very Gnostic theme, yes, The Prisoner, one of my favorite shows. And again, very relevant and good to see everybody today on this Monday. I hope you are recovering from your Super Bowl hangover if you participated. And I hope you're doing well regardless of what you're doing. And today, and of course, my name is Miguel Connor, your Pompidus of Gnosis. And welcome to the virtual Alexandria. And very excited today, we are joined by George Haas to discuss his fantastic new book, The Great Architects of Mars, Evidence for the Lost Civilizations on the Red Planet. George, thank you very much for coming on the show. Truly an honor.
Well, Miguel, thanks for inviting me. I look forward to our discussion today, and hopefully your audience, listeners, and the viewers will find something very interesting here tonight that we're looking at.
I have no doubt. As David Bowie sang, life on Mars. And that's what we're going to find out. It won't be guys in makeup and heels, but it'll be something very interesting too. And with us too, we've got Graham Pong. Graham, how are you doing? How is life on your Mars?
Oh, it's doing pretty good here. I'm interested in hearing all about the spiders.
Exactly. Actually, the name came from a UFO experience in Italy, well recorded, where there was a soccer game, football game, and there was this UFO that flew over and it spread its tendrils and it looked like spiders. And David Bowie and his band was like, we're going to use that. Very well attested in Europe. So if you're wondering where the spiders of Mars came from, there you go. So, George, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us about your background and how you came to write The Great Architects of Mars.
Well, I started out as an artist. I'm a painter and a sculptor. I discussed this in the foreword or the introduction in my new book, that I don't want the audience to think that I'm pretending to be a scientist. I'm not a scientist, although I work with a lot of scientists and geologists when doing this research. But my background is... I was schooled as an artist. I used to live in New Jersey. I was right next to New York, Philadelphia, and I exhibited extensively throughout New Jersey, New York. Eventually, I had a one-man show at Ivan Karp's gallery on Broadway in New York. And during the early 1900s or 1990s, I became more interested in Mars research. And I used to go over to Philadelphia, to the University of Philadelphia, or the University of Pennsylvania, and they would have Maya weekends, and they would have Maya workshops. I actually went over there like once or twice a month and would participate in these workshops. I learned how to read Maya hieroglyphics and things like that. And that actually came into very beneficial once I started getting into Mars, because as we'll see here, a lot of the structures beginning with the face on Mars are directly related to these Mesoamerican cultures.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And yeah, so yeah, I guess, whoops, what is going on? I had my phone off, but yeah, I guess the phone, maybe NASA is trying to sneak in some eavesdropping or something. So, and yeah, the book is it's a really fascinating read. I loved it, and it brings so much to the table. So, but my next question, oh, and for the audience too, it should be said, George also starts his chapters with some very cool rock lyrics like Satellite of Love by Lou Reed and other things. So you can tell you had fun writing this, huh?
Right. Well, you know, everybody's got their mind on Mars right now, so we'll see how the book goes. Might be perfect timing.
Exactly. In fact, we talked on the phone, even talking about synchronicity. Joe Rogan, I forgot who he had, or that square that appeared on Mars, really made the news big time, didn't it, George?
Yes, and in the PowerPoint that we're going to have coming up here in a little while, we'll be talking about that square formation. That actually goes back to, it's over almost 20 years old. It goes back to 2001 when the Mars Global Surveyor took that image. People like myself doing this research, I've been doing this for probably 30 years. And we've known about that. We've discussed it. We've done some discussions on that early on. And with all of the other formations that we found, that kind of like hit the dustbin of ancient Mars structures. But for some reason, that seems to have gone to the forefront right now, which is very interesting. Good for me.
yeah, for sure. I could definitely see you on Rogan, because that's, again, you bring a lot of data and science, and it's very interesting. Obviously, Elon Musk has been yammering about us going to Mars, which when I put on my tinfoil hat, George, I'm like, we're not going there to colonize. We're going there for the artifacts, if you would. I think that's the game, right? Immortality. And I should say, You have a foreword written by Dr. Brandenburg. His book still haunts me, but it's really an amazing book, and kudos for that.
Well, I've known Dr. Brandenburg for years. I'm also a member of the Society for Planetary SETI Research, which is a group of scientists. They've been around since, I think, 1991. Dr. Brandenburg's a member. All of the luminaries of this research, Dr. Tom Van Franlin, Dr. Stanley McDaniel, these are all doctors, Dr. Carlotto, all these guys, they put this group together, which actually started with Richard Hoagland. Mm-hmm. Richard Hoagland started this group. They were doing this when they were in college in the academic fields. And they were, back in the day, everybody used computers, but they were doing it in colleges. All the professors and scientists used this emailing back and forth before it came popular. And they had this little community together doing all these studies of the face on Mars, Sedona area. And they had a falling out with Richard Hoagland because they thought he went too quickly with going public with the face on Mars. They wanted to go the slow route, doing science papers and things like that. So they didn't talk for many, many, many years. This was all going on in the background. And my co-author and I, William Saunders, we produced a science paper, which we'll talk about later, about a parrot formation on Mars. And I guess the membership of the Society for Planetary SETI Research thought it was so well done and had some great information in there, they invited Bill and I to be members. So we've been members for a while now. And so I've known Dr. Brandenburg through that group. And he's a great guy. He's so easy to talk to. He's fun. He's hysterical. Yeah. I think he made some kind of comment about the square that, you know, that's where Elon's going to put his X in the square.
If he gets his way, yeah.
Right. You know, a little comment about the X, you know, the format. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah. So a little overview of your book and some of the ideas before we get into the PowerPoint. But basically, your book states, and of course, please correct me if I'm wrong, that we've advanced a lot in how we can see structures, these big structures on Earth, and we've evolved and gotten more data. And these structures very much parallel these shapes on Mars. And that's where we can find those aha moments, right?
Yeah. In the book, I start introducing the reader into the history of aerial reconnaissance, aerial photographs, started with the balloons going up and they could see, you know, in the distance. And I think they used that a lot in the Civil War over in France. They used balloons. And once we had the airplane, they started to do surveillance with airplanes. And when cameras were invented, they took cameras up in balloons and up in planes taking aerial shots. So that's where we developed the whole idea of, you know, these aerial images of seeing structures. A lot of American Indian mounds were found that way. We didn't even know about the Nazca lines in Peru until planes were flying over with cargo or whatever, and somebody happened to look down and go, oh my God, there's a monkey, there's a spider, there's a bird. What are these there for? So when you're walking on the ground, you don't even notice them. So so in the beginning of the book, I talk about that, you know, walking the reader through this whole history of aerial photography. And the other thing is when we find structures on Mars, they want to know where it came from. How did it get there? You know, what's the history? And then I talk about things that we have on Earth that we don't even know. We still can't agree on who built the pyramids. Did the Egyptians build the pyramids? Are there hidden chambers? I mean, they're still taking x-rays and trying, you know, get the permission to go in. So we still don't know about the pyramids. We have stuff. There's a large geoglyph of an Aboriginal figure in Australia. They don't know who built it. They don't know how old it is. So for me to tell you how old these things are and who built them, it's kind of a little putting the horse before the cart, because we need to get there and look at these things. So that's how the book starts out. And one of the first things I talk about on Mars is Carl Sagan's pyramid, which we'll get to when we do the slide presentation here. So that's basically how it evolves, just starting out with Sagan's pyramid that everybody can relate to and moving up to what we're seeing now. And NASA has evolved over the years from the Viking camera, there was the Mariner 9 camera, which didn't take many pictures, but they were the first ones to take pictures. They were very high contrast, very sharp pictures, actually. And then we had the Viking camera, then the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter camera, and now we have this amazing camera on board the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which takes sharp pictures, highest resolution ever. I think they can pick up details of something as big as a Volkswagen.
Wow.
So this very high resolution.
Yeah, very, very.
So we've evolved from these, you know, very primitive cameras, you know, taking pictures through a little ViewMaster to these high contrast or high resolution type cameras that we have now. So what we're seeing on Mars, this is really there. In the book, I use multiple images. I don't just show the viewer one image, because if you're a photographer and you're taking a picture of, you know, our good friend Miguel, you want to have a head-on view, a side view, and then the other side view, you know, so we can see what you actually look like. And then maybe take one in December, take one in the spring, you know, see what the shadows look like. And that's what NASA does with a lot of these. They have multiple pictures of these, so you can actually do the science and see what it looks like. So I try to present more than one picture. Sometimes I try to get at least three in there so they can take, you know, comparison, see that these structures are consistent. They're still there. It's not just a one-shot deal.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a pity these individuals don't put up a LinkedIn profile after they build pyramids on Mars or Egypt. Right, George?
Right.
Or at least sign your name.
Well, you know, there might be some signatures there when we get pretty close. You know, a lot of these structures are what they call arcologies. They're structures that they possibly lived in or worked in. They may be archives that have all kinds of records in them. We don't know. But they're not just big, you know, mounds of dirt like we have here with like American Indian mounds. Sometimes they were used for burials, but I think these structures on Mars are more sophisticated.
It seems so. And for the audience, if you have any questions for George, please super chat them so that Graham can get to them. We have a lot of fascinating ground. And also, too, I like your book. You also show that the biggest obstacle is sometimes the human mind, right? We see things. I think you talk about pareidolia and other issues that obfuscate us from seeing what is there.
Right. Pareidolia, that's a problem we had with the face on Mars. It appears that there was a lot of these individuals in the media that might have been working with NASA just to get this whole idea out that seeing the face on Mars, you really weren't seeing it. And it was called pareidolia. Now, the guy that first started this, his name was Stephen Goldstein. And he did an article, which we'll see in the presentation, jumping ahead a little bit. But pareidolia is a big problem for this research because people are just trying to stop us. And it was in the Skeptical Inquirer in 19. This goes back to 1990. This is before they took the newer pictures with the Mars Global Surveyor of the face. And I tried to preempt any kind of interest in this. So they called anything you saw a face in, the clouds and the dirt and a mountainside, that's all pareidolia. People see faces all the time. Now, where he got this idea was, which most people don't know, this was from a 1868 science journal called the Journal of Mental Science. And in the article, this is from 1868, talks about a mental disorder where people see faces everywhere, you know, on walls, wallpaper, they're just haunted by faces. It's a mental disorder. It's nothing about the face on Mars and looking at something that kind of looks like a face, because it does. But this was a mental disorder, and that's what that's where he got the word. The word, you know, is over 100 years old, and he made it very popular. They even have a Wikipedia page about pareidolia. It's all made up. You know, it's more of the deep state, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Jim Morrison did sing in People Are Strange, when your strange faces come out of the rain, right?
That's right. Hey, that's a good one.
A little more of modern context.
You got to love Jim Morrison. I mean, let's all bow. The Doors.
Hail to the Lizard King.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We're looking for lizard people. He is the Lizard King, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And well, just
sometimes quick, that Lizard King got a little out of hand, but we won't go into that now.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. And there, and also you talk real quick, what's a geoglyph, so the audience knows, since you mentioned those who might not know.
The geoglyphs are like we talked about in the Nazca lines. American Indians built a lot of geoglyphs. There's the Serpent Mound in Ohio, which is a big curling serpent that's eating an egg. And it's gigantic. It's one of the largest geoglyphs in the world. Now, geoglyphs are produced on the ground, either with mounds or in some other kind of construction. And they're to be viewed from above. Like when you fly over, you see these Nazca lines. And that's basically what a geoglyph is. They can be geometric shapes and like squares, circles, triangles. We have a lot of those in the Amazon. And I talk about this in the book. For years, you know, people were trying to protect the Amazon. They're cutting the trees down. This is ruining the Amazon. The Amazon has always been a jungle. Well, in the, I think it was in the 1990s, it's mentioned in the book. I can't remember the date. I'm sure you read that part where they started doing all this logging and cutting these forests down. And they're revealing all these geometric shapes that are in the ground that were hidden in the trees. So these were built when there were no trees. There was no jungle in the Amazon. So
yeah, the Mayans are the, yeah, they built the, they grew the Amazon.
How old are these? Because they were there when this was just an open plain. So it's like, you know, so there is no Amazon that we have to preserve because all this stuff is hidden under there. And they found all of these geometric shapes. They're also finding where some of the cities are, the people that probably built these with LIDAR, which goes through the foliage in the jungle. So it's a whole new thing coming out of just in the Amazon area.
Yeah, you also talk about simulacrums. I'm mispronouncing it. Baudrillard's famous.
Yeah, simulacrum. Yeah, that's just another term for pareidolia. You know, seeing things.
Yeah, in our seeing things. Yeah, and that's what the human mind. But you can't blame us humans, right? We want patterns, and we want them fast. We want answers. Well,
we are pattern seekers, and but it doesn't mean you're seeing hallucinations. You know, and I mentioned in the book that you know, looking up into clouds. You know, sometimes you'll see a cloud that kind of looks like your dog or it looks like your neighbor and maybe a Cadillac, but usually they're just silhouettes. There's no detail in those. And we know that they're cloud formations because they're moving around. The clouds are always moving. And, you know, the dog that you see may not be there in 30 seconds because the clouds are moving with the wind and whatever. But when we see contrails from an airplane, we know that that's artificial. And if you see like one of these planes that go by and go, you know, I love Lucy, or they do a picture of a smiley face. We know those are artificial. Clouds don't make smiley faces. They don't do straight lines from airplanes. So we don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, as Bob Dylan said. And we also don't need to be a meteorologist to know when it's a cloud or if it's a, you know, contrails or something that an airplane produced.
Exactly. And well, why don't we get to the slides? But first, Graham, I know you've done a lot of work on ancient archaeology and so forth. Do you have a preview or quick question or comment for George?
Oh, I'm fascinated to see what his ideas are. You know, I'm one of those where I've done a fair amount of work on the Earth's ancient history, haven't done a lot on Mars, and I find the whole idea intriguing. I'm agnostic to pretty much most theories. Hey.
All right, you're the perfect audience then.
All right.
All right, well, why don't we pull up your slide? I will do it now. And just let me know as we talk when you want me to shift. Where art thou? Where art thou, slide? There you are.
Okay. All righty. Looks good. And, of course, this is the first part, you know, that's the title of the book, The Great Architects, of Mars. Yeah, you next slide, please, Miguel.
You got it.
This is Arabia Terra. This is where that square formation is. What we're looking at now, this is a what they call a MOLA map. It talks, this is what NASA has taken of Mars. And it shows that the heights and depths of the morphology of the planet. All of this stuff, the blue area, that's all very low. That would be probably where the ancient ocean was on Mars. This is the same kind of map, you know, when they flatten out the Earth and you have the United States on the eastern side or the western side of the world. That's basically what this is, but showing elevation. And that little dot there in the middle, that's where Arabia Terra is. If you go a little bit to the left or towards the west, to the edge of that green part, that's where Cydonia is. So this is basically almost level with Cydonia, where the famous face on Mars is. Mm-hmm. I know somebody sent Joe Rogan an image that had the square formation, and right under that was the face on Mars. Like, oh, look, they're neighbors. And he was like, oh, wow, it's right next to the – it's nowhere near it. Okay. But, you know, my publisher, my publicist is actually in contact with Mr. Joe Rogan. And hopefully I'm going to get on his show and show him some of this stuff. So that's in the works. I'm looking very forward to that. So hopefully he'll have me on and we can really get into some of the real interesting structures on Mars. Next slide, please, sir.
All right.
This is the square. This isn't in my book. We're just talking about this now because this is very topical. This is what went viral on the internet. This is a square impression with the walls and part of a foundation. You can see I have the whole shape of the squared formation outlined. There was a lot of people on the internet saying, oh, this is a hoax. This is all, you know, Paint Shop Pro. This is actual the NASA image. Nothing's been done to it. All I did here was put a line, put the outline of the. And now, by the way, that square, that's right out of Paint Shop Pro Square. You know, the graphics available for a real square, you just overlay. So I didn't like connect the corners. This is a square shape, which is a tool that you can use to put on top of it, and it's perfectly square. Uh-huh. The interesting thing about this, it's a diamond-shaped square. It's pointing north to south. Hmm. Now, I don't have this in the presentation, but if you want to compare this, one of Joe Rogan's companions on there, with a guy with a long beard that he was talking to, he said, well, if LIDAR took a picture of this on Earth, everybody'd say, oh, yeah, that we need to go look at that. That's a foundation. That's a city. Well, I'm going to be doing a presentation of this next week where I show the a LIDAR image of a place called the White City that they were looking for in Mexico. And this was found, I don't know, like 10 years ago. And it's basically the same shape as this. It's a square-shaped formation. This is along a cliff here, that white area on the bottom that goes down, it slopes down. This is this square formation is right on the edge of a cliff. And the formation that they found through LIDAR looks almost exactly like this. And it's, I don't have it here to compare to you, but it's pretty amazing. Next slide, please. This is doing a comparison of a incomplete foundation structure that's in Afghanistan. This one's out in the middle of the desert. And this is just showing the, because if you look at the square formation on Mars, you can see the impression of where it was. You can see some of the remaining walls, but some of the sides are incomplete. So I'm just showing a comparison. This is a known foundation on Earth that's in ruins. You got parts of it missing. If you found that on Mars, they'd probably say, you just disappeared there, Miguel. There you go. Oh. Now you're back. For some reason, you went blank. You went black. So anyway, I'm just using this as a comparison, showing that, you know, you can have structures on Earth that we know are artificial, that ancient cultures built these, that are incomplete. But this formation on Mars is pretty amazing. And I'm thinking, if Joe Rogan thinks this is, he said it was effing wild. He hasn't seen anything yet.
How big is the square, let's say?
I think it's almost 2 miles from side to side. It's pretty big. Yeah, everything on Mars is huge, as our president would say. It's huge.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants a golf club there. Or something.
Oh, yeah, golfing on Mars. His ball will probably go further.
Yeah, exactly. All right, next slide, shall we go?
Next slide, sir.
You got it.
This is the same formation taken by the Mars Reconnaissance High Resolution Camera. This is the most recent one that was taken in 2018. The original image we were looking at with the last two slides was from 2001. This is a high resolution. You can still see the formation there. You see the white area on the bottom? That's a cliff that goes down. This formation is resting right on a cliff. So you'd have like a nice view of the shoreline or whatever this is next to. The other interesting thing, is my cursor going across that?
No.
No, you don't see it. Well, the whole area above, the northern side of that, there's all kinds of mounds and things that are lined up, of which you haven't even begun to look at, because this image has more expansive views of all the stuff up above this square formation. So there's all kinds of weird things and mounds and little pyramidal structures way above that. So that's something we haven't even looked at yet, but because we're all focusing on this square foundation. Now, this whole idea of a square foundation, or a square, which basically looks like a diamond when you put it on its side with the north corner going up and down. Most people don't realize that the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C., is shaped like a square diamond.
Oh, wow.
The boundaries of Washington, D.C. are just like that. And they are, the corners are north and south.
Wow.
And I think it's at 30, I believe it's at 39 degrees north.
Yeah, the Freemasons were all into star lore. That's for sure.
Yes, yes. So this is interesting that that's a comparative. So next slide, please.
All right. I was hoping you're going to pronounce it Washington, like the
Washington.
I love when people.
Now it's. I don't know. We call it Washington.
Yeah.
I'm from New Jersey, but not Jersey City. Jersey City. They all talk like that. Jersey City. Yeah, you don't say. You know, they got Jimmy the Nick Nose and all that stuff going on over there.
Tommy two times. I'm going to get the Tommy paper. Yeah, Tommy two times.
Joey Bag of Donuts, as they call them. That's Jersey City, and so that's not me.
Okay. All right. Are we going to slide six now?
Yes. Now, this slide's basically showing, this is the same thing. I just put a readily available generic square inside this formation, so you can see it. This is in the newer high-resolution image, so just to show this is confirmed, it's still there. We have about 10 images of this, Miguel.
Wow.
From NASA. So it's, and they all look the same. It's basically all the same. Now, the other thing is, on the far right side of this, the eastern side, there's, in a lot of the images which I cut off here, there's like all this seepage, there's like water coming out of that cliff, which is pretty interesting. You've seen images of the seepages coming down?
What is the, might say, counter argument or skeptical argument? Can erosion and weather create these massive, perfectly square diamonds in nature? Is it possible?
The short answer is no. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of examples of geological formed squares, but they're very small. They're like 6 or 7 inches. Nothing. This is massive. These are large.
Wow. So
this is, and of course its placement, where it's the points are from north to south, with any type of weathering around the area, just looking at some of the surrounding things and looking at that curve, which was caused probably by water. You see, that's not a straight line. Now, if the water line was straight, you might have an argument that, oh, this was just because water was gone. But this is a winding waterway, which is this is sitting right. This is beachfront property. And if you were to build a defensive fortification, and you'd want to build it right on the water, probably. Yeah, and that exactly is where the White City is built. It's right on this edge of a cliff, just like this. I'm sorry, I don't have the slide in here to show you, but it'll just intrigue the audience. If they go on my Facebook or my Sedona Institute discussion board, it'll probably be up there later in the week and they can take a look at it. It's pretty mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah, I do have I have your website linked, so you can go right now on YouTube and check it out. And are we getting into the White City? Is that what you didn't show? Or are we getting into
that's where it makes a great comparison to this. But that's something I just realized. I've actually had the White City compared to something else on Mars. And then I was doing that this morning and I said, oh, my God, that's the same thing here. So this is just a recent revelation. Wow. Yeah, this is going quickly, man.
Time waits for no man. All right, but let's go to we got boring old Earth now.
Yeah, well, this is normally how I start the presentation off. I just added the square formation because that just came out of nowhere, in the beginning of February here. I think it was around Groundhog's Day, so we're seeing that square formation over and over. It's like we're reliving it. So this is Xi'an, China. And, you know, earlier we talked about, things we don't even know about. It's like, how can we convince people of what's on Earth when we haven't even resolved these things? How can we resolve things on Mars? That little white dot, this is a similar MOLA map created by some space organization. I don't know who produced this, but basically it's the same thing. It's an elevation map. The blue areas, the water, the dark brown and red, that would be high mountainous areas. So we're looking at right next to a side of a mountain there. This is a big plain, that little dot. So that's Xi'an, China. Now, this is a story of a pilot from World War II. And he was flying over on a mission, and he, I guess, had got a little lost and went into the China area. And he looked down and he saw this huge white, what he called a big white shiny pyramid. And he took a photograph of it. Next slide.
Next slide. There you go.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Yes. This is the picture that he took out his window of his airplane. Wow. And this was taken in 1947. This has been in a lot of mystery magazines. It's been in a lot of books about, unsolved mysteries. The consensus was that this was a forgery. This was a hoax. There's no pyramids in China. China said, we have no pyramids. We have no stinking pyramids in China. So that was the end of the story. And it was all considered just an old picture that was silly. And then next slide, please. Then, of course, we had Google Earth in the early 2000s. And Google Earth or satellite was taking pictures everywhere, even where they weren't allowed to. Because, the China, the red curtain, they got everything blocked off. Yeah. You can't be taking no pictures of our stuff. So they took these pictures. And we find out these pyramids are everywhere in the Xi'an area. And we don't know how old they are. We don't get much information from China. We can't go visit them. We still have a lot of these aerial photographs. And what the Chinese did years ago, they planted grass and bushes and trees on top of these. So they kind of blend in the landscape. So, and they won't let anybody come look at them because they're preserved and they don't want anything damaged. I mean, that's their excuse. So we don't know how old these are. But they're all perfectly square, different sizes. There's a few that are rectangular shaped. But so what we find is that because of the advent of all of these satellite pictures that we're getting in Google Earth, we can resolve that ancient white pyramid that this photographer took out his window, that it was real. So
very cool.
So that's just showing the reader that, there's still mysteries on Earth that we're slowly trying to figure out.
Got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah. Next slide. So now we're on Mars. This is, again, a MOLA map showing the depths, the heights. The little dot there on the right side, that's Elysium on Mars. That is where the famous Carl Sagan pyramids were photographed. Next slide, please. This first picture here, this was taken with the Mariner 9 camera, which was went around Mars. A lot of people, they think about the Viking being the first to take pictures of Mars. Actually, it was the Mariner 9, and it had a really good camera that was high contrast, but very sharp. As you can see, that pyramid on the right, it's very sharp top, the peak. It's a three-sided pyramid. And next slide, please. So actually, Carl Sagan wasn't the first to recognize these pyramids. There were scientists also looking at these new pictures that were coming back from the Mariner 9. And this is Mr. Gibson. This is the famous Gibson paper that nobody knows about. He had this published in a science journal, the Icarus. Icarus is top-notch science journal. This isn't one of those ones you find on the internet that'll publish anything. This was back in the day. This was one of the top-notch journals. And his article was Pyramidal Structures on Mars. And he talked about these same three-sided pyramids that Carl Sagan later made very public. So I just wanted to get his kudos out there that this guy was the first to recognize this and had an actual science paper. So this was taken seriously.
Oh, it was?
Oh, back in the day, yeah. And, when they found the face, then it all went south. Next slide, please. Now, this is Carl Sagan. Everybody loves him, the billions and billions of stars. Yeah. And he was great. He had a way about him. Everybody loved Carl Sagan. Nobody even knew who Gibson was. And he had his series on TV, Cosmos. He had his book. Now, this three-sided pyramid was published in the book and mentioned on the series. So people had known about it. He said they were very fascinating. He compared them in size to they were, bigger than the pyramids in Egypt, and said that we needed to go there and look at them. So he was interested in this until the face on Mars, and then it all went.
But I think that damn face on Mars.
Yeah, it ruined everything, yeah.
And you in your book, you talk about how Sagan talks about extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Do you believe in that? I always thought, just evidence. Evidence is evidence, right?
he said that, and every scientist uses that quote. And that's not how science works.
No.
Science works by you put out a thesis, you put out a hypothesis, and people have to prove you wrong, or you have to confirm it. And, you don't have to have extraordinary, evidence. You have to have evidence. He also said about looking at these pyramids, he said that intelligent life on Earth reveals itself through the geometry and regularity of its construction. A beautiful quote. And that's in the book also. So this is what we're seeing on Mars, and especially in this area that he was looking at, all of this geometry. You see geometry like that foundation, even though it's partial and it looks like it's, seen better days, obviously. It's square. It's geometry. And because of its size, that does not happen in nature.
Next
slide, please. Now, these are the newer pictures. This is the original Mariner 9 on the left that Sagan looked at. Unfortunately, Miguel, Carl Sagan only got to see the Viking image, which is worse than this nice image from the Mariner 9. I didn't put it here because, time and everything, but it's in the book. That's all he got to see. So he did not receive any verification of this. He just had a worse picture of this pyramid to look at. He died in 1996, never getting to see these nice sharp pictures that we're getting from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the CTX image. This was taken in 2007. You can see you can actually see the little crater on the left there in the old image, the little dark spot. So this is just a sharp image. You can actually see the crack in the surface in the dark area there. So he would have seen the beautiful picture of this pyramid if he had remained alive. Next slide, please.
Yeah, pity. It's a pity. Yeah, the difference is amazing. And it's a pity. I don't know if you heard the joke about how we can use our phones to get great pictures of people. But the military, when filming UFOs, it still looks like 1970 or 60s, right? It's like they need some of those cameras.
Right.
All right, let's see. Next one.
This is just another pyramid in the same area right next to Carl Sagan's pyramid, just showing this that they're all around that area. And that's all discussed in the book. So this is just another three-sided pyramid. I did the little outline drawing there showing you the it's different faces.
Mm-hmm. Makes
Next
sense.
Slide. These are the polygonal pyramids. These are in the same area as the famous Carl Sagan pyramid. These are like five-sided, like they're pentagonal. I call this Star Shield and Star Shield Junior. The large one on the left is basically in the center of this complex, and the one on the right is a little further up. And they're almost identical. However, the one on the left is about twice as big. Now, these being almost identical, it's like, how does something like that happen naturally?
Yeah.
These scream of artificiality. Okay. The interesting thing, you'll notice that the little points at the top, they curl. One curls to the right, the other one curls to the left. I'm sure you saw in the book how that's all significant, because these structures, there's three different parts of this complex, and they're all arranged in a circular pattern. And the circular pattern echoes from these little peaks that curve. And I mentioned also in the book how this whole circular complex of mounds was very common in American Indian mounds. And I do side by side showing the same idea that the mounds that American Indians produced, I'd basically have one in the center, and then they'd have these circle of mounds around that were all aligned from their different peaks and corners. So find the same thing on Mars. Again, as above, so below.
I was just thinking that, George. Great minds or demented minds think alike, huh?
That's right, yeah. Well, somebody's got to think.
And again, these are much bigger than the Egyptian pyramids. This is bigger.
Oh, yeah. I think these are over a mile in diameter. They're huge. Wow. Everything's about a mile, half a mile. Everything is huge.
Okay.
It's amazing. Well, you know, there's less gravity there. And these things were built all when Mars was a dead planet. So these weren't built during the green times. That's a whole other story.
Wow. Okay.
We can talk about that later if you'd like.
Yeah, definitely.
This is just a comparison showing the, these are star forts. That's what these things on Mars are. They have these bastions on the corners. That's defensive. So these were probably the ones on Mars were all built for fortifications of something. You know, they're defensive. This is a star fort that was, this was built in 1776. This is very old. And this is an old star fort in Santa Teresa. So pretty amazing. Now, you can imagine this fort left to disintegrate and be covered over with ice and sand and dirt, and you'd have probably the same thing you're seeing on Mars. Exactly. So that's a pretty good comparison there. Next slide. So now we're going to move on to a different part of the planet. This area is one of my favorites. This whole area here was found by a good friend of mine, Mean Green. That's his moniker that he uses on the internet. And this is in Nepenthes. This is Nepenthes Mars. Now, if you recall, we were right over just above this to the right at Elysium. So now we're moving down. Notice it's on the dark green area, which is right next to the shoreline. A lot of these complexes that we find right next to the water, where a waterway would be. And that's what where you would build a city. You'd want to have water access, you know, to get the big, you know, monstrous fish they have on Mars and all that stuff. So you'd want to be close to that, you know, bring the rum running in and all that stuff. So,
right.
So this is just showing the viewers, the listeners here. That's I'm moving you across the planet. That's the next stop right here. Another shoreline place. And let's look at the next slide. Next slide. This is another star-shaped formation, Miguel. This I call Starburst. And I'm comparing this with Fort Henry in Tennessee, another formation built in the 1800s, 1861. The interesting thing about this, it has the five bastions that, you know, the defensive area of the star-shaped forts. And notice the flat top that the one has on the Fort Henry has. That almost echoes the same flat top that the star shape has on Mars. They're almost like doppelgangers. Pretty amazing.
Very much, yeah.
And then little mounds inside. These are little mounds that are inside the fort on Mars. And we have the same image of the Fort Henry, where they had barracks and, you know, where all the guns and the cannons were stored. So you had all these little buildings inside. So this is just remarkable of the similarities in the construction of these forts on Earth and Mars. Next slide, please.
Okay, next slide. Where's my cursor? There you go.
Oh, no, you go back. You went one too many.
Oh, okay. Let me go. Oh, nope. Go.
I think you go back. Yeah. This is a pentagonal shape. It's got five sides. This is the pentagonal pyramid. This is right in the same area. All these are in the same area. It's pretty remarkable. So we find these little complexes that have all these geometrically shaped. This is highly geometric, symmetrical, has five sides. And then there's kind of like a step pattern inside the formation. In the book, I actually do a side-by-side comparison of this with a Mesoamerican pyramid. I'm sure you saw that in the book. Yeah. So I can't put everything in the slide presentation.
No. We'd be here for days.
Right. Next slide.
All right.
So this is the same area below that pyramid that we were looking at, the five-sided one. And this is a whole connective city here. All of these structures are very geometric, and they all seem to be on platforms. There's like this flat platform, and then the structures are built on top of it. You see this big rod-shaped almost very thin rectangular shape. There's pyramidal shapes. There's hexagons. Next slide. And I just outlined them. So this is geometry is everywhere. This is in just one little area. All of these spread out. They all look amazing. They're symmetrical and highly geometric. Pretty amazing.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Next slide. Okay. We're going to focus in on that, which I call the crowned kite in the center of this complex. And look at the intricacy of this structure. I mean, it almost looks like a spaceship, but this is something on the ground that's very creative in its design. Highly symmetrical. It has like these wings that go off the back. It's pretty amazing. In the front, there's that little V shaped like a beak.
Right.
It's just amazing. And right next to it is another squarish mound that's pyramidal looking right next to it. So this is just one of my favorite pieces. What do you think about when you see this, Miguel?
Well, I saw the beak. That's a really all I see.
You don't see the it's like it's got a linear line right down the middle.
Yeah, it does.
It's just amazing. A lot of times, viewers have to take a while to look at these. I've been looking at these things for, years.
Right.
So when I see them, it's like, I know what I'm looking at. So whenever you want to move on to the next one.
You got it.
Now, this is at the bottom of that complex. This is a oval-shaped flat platform with a linear rod down the middle, and then there's a dome on the end on the northern western side. The drawing on the right side is from a science journal of American Indian Mound from the Ashur Johnson Mound Group. They're almost identical.
Yeah.
The same design. You have the mounds that the American Indians built. They built it on a platform, and then there's this rod-shaped or linear formation, and with the circular formation on the dot area. So it's pretty amazing. So I do that a lot in the book. I show these side-by-side comparisons of architecture that we're seeing on Mars compared to known mounds and configurations here on Earth.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and there's so much. Huh, another slide.
This is another area below that. This is, I think, more to the eastern side of where that other complex was. This was found by my good friend Gary Legere. You might know him as the Mad Martian. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the Mad Martian?
I have heard of him, yes.
So he found this, and this again just speaks of geometry. I have it outlined on the right. With all the different points we discussed, the science in the book. This, again, is on a platform, and then it has this elongated hexagonal mound, and then there's a oval-type mound right in the center. You see that?
Yeah.
So this is just amazing. Now, wait until you see what I compare it to.
Okay.
Hit the next slide. Almost identical, isn't it? This is over in Turkey.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Dead Ringer.
Yeah. This is it's doppelganger, as I say. I found this accidentally. I was looking for something else when I was doing some research on the internet, and I was going through some old satellite photographs. This picture was taken by the Corona satellite, which is a military satellite. 1960s, they took this. Mm-hmm. This is old. If you go onto Google Earth now and look at this formation, the whole left side is just full of city There's all kinds of buildings and all. You can hardly even see the mound because it's all overgrown. This ancient ruins here on the right side, that's all been overpopulated with new structures. Thank God somebody took the picture of this in 1968, or I'd never have had this. So all of these ruins on the right side there, all that little grid area, that's all ancient structures and stuff that are on top of this huge mound that is identical to what you're seeing on Mars.
Yeah, fascinating.
Next. All right, now we're moving on to Libya mounds. As you can see, we're just moving right along. Again, another area where we're right around the shoreline. So we can move on to the next slide. This is the famous keyhole structure that was found in Libya mounds in 2011. NASA took this picture, and when they've taken thousands and thousands of pictures that they release yearly of Mars. And when they release them, they normally just have the ancillary data, which is, you know, about the time of day and the resolution and how far the camera was and all that stuff. And, you know, sunrise and all that. But for this image, they had one of their scientists come in and say that this is nothing really to look at. They called this an exclamation mark. And the scientist that participated to this, he said that this was caused by faulting. Now, we had a science paper, my group of myself and image analyst and two geologists. We had a science paper published on this. And the two geologists basically talk about in the paper how this could not be a fault and how this was made. And if you were to have a wind or some type of erosional force come through down through that the wedge area, it would obliterate the circular mound at the bottom. So that how would you have that through wind and erosion? So there's just no reason that this thing could be made. But the simplest explanation is that somebody made it. Next slide, please.
Got it.
Now, in the book, we go through all the geometry and the science of how this is all, you know, just beyond any kind of, you know, chance happening in nature. Next slide. It's got this, it has exquisite geometry. Now, looking on Google Earth again, a lot of people didn't even know that these keyhole-shaped tombs were out in the desert in Saudi Arabia. These were all found, I think, in the late 1990s, early 2000s or whatever, when they were looking at these. And so there's a bunch of these all over the place. And again, these are a wedge with a circular mound at the bottom. These were used as burial tombs in Saudi Arabia. So just an example of, you know, things we're finding on Earth, we're finding on Mars.
Yeah. And I do like the exclamation point more than the keyhole, but to each his own, right?
Well, the keyhole has more of a historical, reference because basically the exclamation mark is basically a keyhole. Just, you know, they use that in writing, but it's a keyhole. Yeah. And keyholes, I talk about in the book, all of the its use in ancient cultures and stuff. And also in Japan, as you go to the next slide. This is a Kufan tomb in Japan, which has the almost identical shape as what we're seeing on Mars. This tomb in Japan, this was used as a burial tomb for the elite. When the Japanese came to the island of Japan, I'm thinking a lot of archaeologists and historians talk about this, that they think the Japanese came upon these and then they decided to use the same type of design to bury their people. So we don't know really who built these or how old they are in Japan, but they appear to be all over the area. Pretty striking. This is one of those smoking guns. I have the two-barreled smoking guns on Mars, which is this and the parrot, because these just speak of artificiality. And when you show these to a scientist, a geologist, you know, someone that wants to be a skeptic and say that this is, you know, just a natural thing. Prove to me that this is natural. That's all. I think I've proved that it's not. So, you know, that's how science works. Show me where I went wrong.
And so that's been your experience when you show them to scientists, or what's been the feedback?
Usually no comment, which means they don't know what to say. But normally this and other things, you know, they'll just say that it looks natural to them. And then if you ask them, you know, well, how is it natural, that they don't have any. And they're supposed to be scientists, right? I mean, tell me why. Yeah. Prove to me what shows you that this is just a regular formation that has nothing for us to look at.
All right.
And you can't say it's a fault without explaining why it's a fault.
Exactly.
So that's my take anyway. And I'm just an artist. I mean, I'm not a scientist.
You saw the patterns. That's what matters. But,
speaking of Dr. Brandenburg, which we talked about earlier, he has a famous quote that he talks about when he's asked about why these, you know, NASA scientists, when they look at these, they don't see the artificiality. Because he says, well, if the rover goes by and they had seen a picture of a rock with a lizard on it, they'd stop the rover and they'd want to get a closer look at that rock.
Yeah.
And they probably would put the little arm out that they grind with and knock that lizard off and try to get a better look at that rock. Because that's how their mindset is. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, we see what we want to see. There's that famous study, George, where you have, you know, they bring people in and they have on camera, on a screen, they have two people throwing a basketball. And in the study, scientific study, said just count how many times they pass the ball back and forth. And in the study, a guy walks by in a gorilla suit and with the two people passing the ball. And then they ask later on, they ask, did you see anything strange while you were doing? And I think, 53% didn't see the guy in the gorilla because they were given the instructions and that's all they could understand.
Well, they were probably more the, you know, the left side, the scientific brain, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a right-sided brain thinker. I'm more artistic. So I'd probably see the gorilla suit. But we had a similar experiment when I was in college in one of the psychology classes. They, like in the middle of the semester, she had this guy come in the room and grab her pocketbook and run out. It was all staged. And then she asked the class what he looked like. And I think it was like another over 50% said that he had a mustache. And when the guy came in, never had a mustache, no facial hair at all. But that's just people's perceptions of
things. Our mind sees what it wants to see.
Right. So you got to think about that when you're looking at these things on Mars. Mm-hmm. Next slide, please.
All right.
This is just verifying to the audience out there that this was published in the Journal of Space Exploration back in the fall of 2016. I've had like six papers published, not being a scientist, but working with other scientists. I've been part of six science papers. This was one of them. Next slide, please. All right, now we're moving over to Atlantis Chaos. It's a little dot on the far left side of your screen. This, of course, is way inside the landmass of Mars. But in the book, you'll see, if you have the opportunity to get a hold of this wonderful book that I put out, it shows that this Atlantis Chaos complex is right next to a water area, which is a huge circular water basin. So next slide. This is a picture of the Atlantis area, Chaos Atlantis, which we call the Martian Atlantis. And this is, notice the gridded area. I will give you a few minutes to have your mind adjust to what you're looking at here. Have you seen this before, Miguel?
No, I have not.
Really? A while back, this was all over the internet. I think it was 2019. In discussion boards, people that were looking at Mars stuff. This was a big event when we found this. I mean, way bigger than the Square Foundation. I mean, there's a lot of foundations here. You notice this massive grid pattern, this compartmentalized structures. Sure. There's also at the upper center, there's a dome, looks like the dome in Washington, D.C., like the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
So there's a lot of structures that don't appear to have been destroyed, but a lot of this looks like Dresden after World War II.
Yeah.
Next slide. This is showing the gridded pattern, a close-up of some of those compartmentalized buildings. Now, these are all about 20 by 20 feet in diameter, these little cubicle areas. That's about the size of these. 20, 25 feet by 25 feet. And what I'm doing here is just comparing this with the same kind of compartmentalized conjoined buildings that you find over in Saudi Arabia. I mean, people live like this. I mean, they have these like mud huts with little roofs and they're right next to the other building. They share walls and it looks just like what we're looking at Mars. It's unfreaking believable.
It is.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
I think it's- And if you have an opportunity to actually down, because I give the information for all of these images that we use in the book that you can go on NASA and download them. If you zoom in on these, I mean, these have rooms and everything. It's just amazing to look at. And this is not something that was created naturally. It's no. Bizarre. Next slide. Another close up. This is one of the buildings in Machu Picchu, just showing the triangular roofs of the, you know, the peaks of the structures. It's amazing.
It is.
This is all, we call it the Martian Atlantis because of the Atlantis chaos, a little play on words there, but that's how it got titled. I think the guy that brought this to everybody's attention, he kind of called it the Martian Atlantis. So we stuck with that. It's all documented in the book. One of our members of the Society for Planetary SETI Research, he had actually found this area originally, like months before the guy that went on the our group presenting this. And so he was very upset that everybody was talking about this and he found it. But people get very emotional in this, you know, wanting to know who found what. Got to have that recognition. So, of course, he's mentioned in the book.
Good deal.
Greg, I'll mention him, Greg Orme.
Okay.
He's the one that really discovered all this. Next slide. This is showing those central formations that were in the center of that gridded pattern, like the dome in the center, that's B. A is kind of like a step pyramid, something you'd see in maybe Aztec Mayan or over in India, you know, those very elaborate temples. Yeah. And then on the far right, number C, that looks to me like an old wood mill. Seems to have a big fat end on the side that's next to where the water would be. It has a chimney roof. They seem to be intact. Now, Miguel, these are all sitting amongst ruins. You know, so how does that happen? So I was thinking that, you know, when we attacked, going back to Japan, see how this all connects together here?
Yeah.
We dropped on Nagasaki, where we dropped the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb. And if you look at Nagasaki after the explosion, the only thing standing was the ground zero, the church that was there at the base. Everything else around it is flattened, but that church there was the only building standing that was in the middle of a park area or whatever wherever it was at the time. So I'm thinking possibly going back to Dr. Brandenburg's idea about the nuclear explosions that took place on Mars, that possibly this is one area that was hit. And are you familiar with Dr. Brandenburg, John Brandenburg's thesis about the xenon 129 on Mars?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a slam dunk case. Like I said, the book haunts me because it's so.
Yeah, and this is one of the areas probably that was hit.
Right,
and you have the same thing going on in Nagasaki, where you know the things at ground zero, the central formations, still are standing, but everything else is in ruins. All these other formations are just foundations, and the roofs have been blown off. So I think that's what we're looking at.
I agree.
Next slide.
Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.